I don't care what you think. I saw the rushes. I say it's funny the way it is. And if I say it's funny, it's funny. Now get out.
Yes, all right, Mr. Sennett.
Out!
Thank you, Mr. Sennett.
Now, who the hell are you?
My name is Warwick Easton, sir.
I didn't quite get that. Did you say Keystone?
No, sir. I said Easton.
So what's wrong with Keystone? Easton?
Nothing, actually. Except that it's not my name, Mr. Sennett.
You talk funny. You got a speech defect.
No, sir. But I am English.
Ah, well. Well, why shouldn't we have an Englishman named Keystone as one of the Keystone Cops? Yeah, I like it.
You hired, Keystone.
I beg your pardon?
You hired. $10 a day. Report to wardrobe for your cop uniform, then go to Exposition Park to start learning the business.
Keystone.
So what you standing there for? Move! Keystone!
Roll 'em! And action!
Keystone, the movie. Scripted by Michael Z. Lewin from the novel by Peter Lovsey. Starring Mark Straker and Jennifer Ely.
Cut! Printed!
The Keystone Pictures lot had started as a farmyard. It was a cluster of barns, bungalows, open stages, studios and streets lined with paddy wagons and tin lizzies. Carpenters, actors and office workers went about their business with ant-like urgency. Three or more comedies were always in production simultaneously, so every thoroughfare had its hazards of props, scenery and motor cars on the move.
You look lost. Can I help?
I hope so. I was told to go to the wardrobe, wherever that is.
You're new, aren't you? What's your name?
Mr. Sennett calls me Keystone.
Keystone it is, then. He's the gospel here. My name is Amber Honeybee. Don't say it's sweet. I've heard that a million times.
Amber Honeybee. It conjures all the fragrances of summer.
Gee, that's a nice thing to say. Are you a poet?
Hardly. For the last 10 months, I've been travelling across the country as an acrobat and actor in vaudeville. But now I'm a Keystone cop.
You're one of the cops? Since when? I thought I knew them all.
I enlisted 2 minutes ago.
Well, I hope you like it. Hey, I've been listening, and you've just got to be English.
I have that honor and privilege.
Do you know Charlie Chaplin? He was here, you know.
Well, of course, we all come out of the same stable, so to speak, as English variety performers. And I'd be happy to tell you all about it sometime.
Uh-oh, I've got to run now. I'm in a film at Exposition Park.
Oh, you're an actress.
Just bit parts at the moment, but I'm going to have leading roles one day. I must go. It's Mr. Brennan directing. I'd hate him to get mad at me because I was late. But do let's talk again soon.
I'd love that.
Wardrobe's over there. Ask for Winnie.
Right, I will. I will! Thanks!
And he hired me on the spot. Didn't ask what my background was or anything.
If ever there was a man who trusted his own instincts, it's Max Sennett. Hold still, Keystone. Oh.
The ruler of wardrobe was called Winnie, and her domain was a huge shed with racks of costumes hung on one side and rows of baskets lining the other. At the head of a queue of women working sewing machines was Winnie, her mouth full of pins and brandishing a measuring tape.
You'll find that the waist is 30 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked my way across the entire country as an acrobat, but I have essayed a monologue or two, so I've experienced plenty of theatre managers. But no one like your Mr. Max Sennett. Oh, and the inside leg is 34.
Oh! So it is. Now, try this jacket. If it feels too broad across the shoulders, then it's just right.
Yeah.
Cops wear them loose across the shoulders for mobility because of the stunts they have to do.
Oh.
So, how did you come to the Keystone lot?
In my motor car.
No, what I meant, you have an automobile?
I bought it 2 weeks ago. Well, after 10 months in vaudeville, I was ready for a bit of a fling. I blew most of my savings on it, but I love it.
Oh, your very own automobile? Where are you going after you leave here?
Well, now that war has been declared in Europe, I'm not really sure that...
No, after you get fitted for a uniform, where are you going next?
Somewhere called Exposition Park. I gather they're filming there. Mr. Sennett said
that you're to start learning the business, right?
Right.
But I bet he didn't tell you where Exposition Park is.
Well, no.
So, you give me a lift, and I give you directions. Deal?
A deal. Are those the trousers you want me to try?
Yeah.
I get it. Mobility.
I'll pin them, and then we'll go. They'll be ready tomorrow. Report here. Leave your own clothes in one of the baskets. Your uniform will be on a rack.
Right.
At Exposition Park, I'll point out some of the boys. They'll show you the routine.
You're very kind. Everyone's so helpful.
Oh, yeah?
Just outside, I ran into an actress on her way there. She was most forthcoming.
A little blonde... Curls like Mary Pickford.
Well, yes. She's only got a bit part today.
But if ambition were all that counted, she'd be on top of the heap.
Oh.
They say she gets it from her mother.
Where the hell is Mabel? Is she in position yet?
Exposition Park was a permanent fairground. Everyone was gathered near the roller coaster where something was being filmed. I ain't going to
apologize for sticking my nose in. The man next to Mac is the director.
Uh-huh.
I've got work to do, but make yourself known. People here are pretty good about breaking in a new hand.
I'll do that.
And thanks for the lift in your automobile.
Oh, not at all.
Now, Murray, it's a tricky little stunt, so I figure we'll do a rehearsal. But you might as well have the camera running just in case. Of course, you're the director on this one.
No, that's what I had in mind, too.
Mr. Sennett, sorry I'm so late.
Who's this?
It took some time to find wardrobe, but I'm here now. Has anything important happened?
Murray, this is a new cop I hired this afternoon. Oh, you'll like this. He's called Keystone.
yes.
Yeah, what the hell do you think you're doing interrupting us, Keystone?
But you said I should start learning the motion picture business this afternoon.
The first thing to learn is that I am important and you aren't. Don't you ever button on me again, Keystone. When I want you, I'll call for you. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Keystone. I'm Murray Brennan. I'm directing this picture.
Hello.
Why don't you watch from over there? Introduce yourself, and someone who's not in the take will explain what's going on.
Thanks, Mr. Brennan. Thanks very much. Sorry.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, come on. Time's money, Murray.
Yes. All right, everyone. Let's go for a rehearsal. Okay.
Which was the cue for all the Keystone cops to head for the roller coaster. All except one. The one whose leg was in plaster.
My name's Frank Hayes. Welcome to chaos, Keystone.
Oh, I think I'm glad to be here. May I ask, what happened to your leg?
A contretemps with the car.
Oh, did the police get the driver?
I was on a picture last week, just a little miscalculation.
Oh.
Now, I got to the lot late, see, so during the chase I had to ride on the running board. Last one in, see, and you're a sitting duck on the running board. That's worth remembering.
Are there a lot of accidents?
Oh, no. Not more than one broken limb per cop per picture.
Oh, rush.
Everybody in position? Are you ready, Mabel?
Ready, Murray.
That's Mabel Norman. Right, she's the star of the picture.
Oh, I say, I've seen every...
And Sullivan! Sullivan, you hear me?
I'm ready!
Right, now, the stunt is all in the timing, Sullivan. You start running when the cars clear the top of the rise, but not a moment sooner. And then you've got 5, maybe 6 seconds.
I got it. Just the way Mr. Sennett laid it out.
I wouldn't ask you to do anything dangerous. You know that.
And if you believe that, you'll believe anything.
Okay, boys and girls. One rehearsal run for Sullivan to get the timing right, and then we turn the camera on for real.
How's the light, Jake?
Looks okay, Murray.
Fine.
I bet they filmed this one just in case. Oh, now that's the cameraman there by the foot of the tracks.
Ah.
Jake Harper. He really knows the business.
Okay, let's go with the rehearsal. And action!
And then it began. Mabel Normand, I must have seen her in 15 different two-wheelers all over the United States. Mabel Normand sat in a white dress in a roller coaster car. Beside her sat a hard-faced actor with a large moustache and a silk hat.
That's the villain, Harry Gribben.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a poker player. That's worth remembering, too.
In the seat behind Mabel and Harry was another couple, a blonde girl and a grey-haired man. But all eyes were on Mabel Normand, so petite and vulnerable.
Oh, and here come the cops. Now, the idea is that they're running up the roller coaster to rescue Mabel.
Uh-huh.
Only they don't know it's about to come over the top straight down at them.
What are all the discs with tinfoil?
They're sun reflectors.
But they're all over the place.
Yeah, they reflect the sun to maximize the light in the right places for the camera.
Oh, I see. And what happens when the roller coaster car comes over the top?
Well, the cops are climbing up the track, and they look up and they see the car, and they run like hell back down, and then they all jump out of the way, all except Sullivan. Now, he's supposed to be the stupid one who tries to outrun the car. Oh, wait. Here we go.
And it happened just as Frank explained.
Oh, my God! Sullivan's going to be hit! Jump, man, jump!
And jump he did, but not off to the side. He jumped up and grabbed onto a metal arch above the track. And by pulling his feet up to his chin, he let the roller coaster car pass safely underneath.
Oh, I say! That was brilliant!
Well done, Sullivan! You got the timing exactly right!
I want to see all the cops except Sullivan! Call that acting, do you?
All right, 10-minute break, boys and girls. Next time we'll do it for real.
Good, wasn't it?
Oh, that is a great stunt. How did they decide who would do it?
Well, Sullivan has no family.
Ah. We walked towards the foot of the roller coaster to get a better look. And as we did...
Mr. Keystone!
Oh, excuse me, Frank. Mm. Hello, Miss Honeybee.
Did you see me?
I
was the passenger behind Mabel. How was I?
Oh, you were marvelous.
You don't think I upstaged her? It is her picture, after all.
Oh, no. I think you got it just right.
Well, thank you. Oh, excuse me now. I want to have a word with Murray. Did you see where he went?
He's talking with Jake. Must have been some problem about the lighting.
Thank you, Frank.
I wouldn't interrupt them unless it's important, if I were you.
Well, you're not me, are you, Frank? Bye, Mr. Keystone. Perhaps I'll see you again after the shoot.
Whew. If that one had 1/10 as much talent as she has ambition...
Oh, but she's so lovely.
She's got the looks, all right.
And I couldn't take my eyes off her. Murray Brennan wasn't in the least upset when she interrupted his conversation with Jake Harper, the cameraman. In fact, he seemed positively pleased... Though, after he introduced her to Harper, he left the two of them and made some adjustments to the sunlight reflectors near the track. Then he called everybody back to their starting positions.
Okay, everybody! This time the camera's rolling!
I'm looking forward to seeing the stunt again.
Everybody ready now? Give me some signals!
Ready!
Okay, roll up! Action!
And it all happened again. The cops started up the track, the car came over the top, the cops turned and ran. They jumped aside, all except the stupid one, Sullivan. He tried to outrun the roller coaster until, at the very last second, he jumped for the arch above the track. I was watching his face. He seemed somehow to know it was going wrong. His eyes were alight with fear. His mouth gaped. His hands groped for the arch. But this time, he missed. He simply jumped at the wrong place. He never had a chance. The events after the accident were horrific and confused. Until the accident, everything was clear in my mind as could be. But then, the ambulance, the endless police, real cops questioning Keystone cops, and Mr. Sennett seemed to be in the middle of everything, of course.
No man's life is worth a moving picture! And I urge you all, in all the pictures you make from this point on, I urge you to redouble your efforts to make sure that nobody, not one of you, not one of your colleagues, suffers the slightest injury during the making of a Keystone Productions motion picture. And to underline my resolve that that be so, I am declaring this picture canceled, no matter what we've got on film from today's events. And as a gesture of gratitude to our real boys in blue, I am making a donation of $500 to the Police Benevolent Fund on behalf of Sandy Sullivan and the Keystone Cops.
Well, he's really upset.
Sounds good the first time you hear it, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, donation helps them control what the police release to the newspaper.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Maybe. But I think that Mac would do just about anything to protect the company.
What make of car did you say this is?
It's a brush. I don't know where they're manufactured, but I bought it right here in Los Angeles.
Oh, your own brush. And it's so kind of you to give me a lift home, Keystone.
Well, when I saw you with all those bags, I could hardly do otherwise. Amber, if I may.
Why, of course you may.
The bedlam had lasted for hours, until all the statements had been taken and the police finally allowed witnesses to go home. Of course, by then, the last streetcars had come and gone. Did I wait around on the off chance I'd be able to offer Amber a lift? You bet I did.
I know it's sad for poor Sullivan, but being here, riding along the highway, a passenger in your car with the wind in my hair, I just can't help feeling so good.
It's an honor to have you as a passenger in my car.
Oh, you're so funny and cute, Keystone. Say, would you like to eat?
What?
There's a dinky little roadhouse along here that sells shrimps with pretzels. I think I would do just about anything for shrimps with pretzels tonight.
And all you had to do was ask.
Oh, Keystone, what a sweetie.
Amber gripped my arm and pressed her head against it. Oh, what an amazing day. And it wasn't over yet. The roadhouse was tiny and so close to the cliff edge that it might have featured in a Keystone movie. We were the only customers. The shrimps were heaped up high on china plates, and there was iced beer to drink.
So you used to be in vaudeville?
That's right. Out from New York, through Chicago, and all the rest of the circuit.
As an acrobat?
And a knockabout comedian.
Oh, that's a tough life.
I enjoyed it while it lasted. More than the audiences did, I'm afraid. Yes, there's not much prospect of my working my way back in the opposite direction.
Do you want to go back?
Well, my country is at war. In a few months, I shall have earned enough to make it to New York again. I'll sell my car and book my passage to Southampton.
Just to get yourself killed in France?
Oh, it'll be over before I get there. How about you, Amber? What's your reason for being at Keystone Productions?
Well, like a lot of girls, I dreamt of working in movies. So I came to Los Angeles and found myself standing in the bullpen with hundreds of other hopefuls. I wanted serious parts, but the only place I could get work was at Keystone. Mac makes more movies per week than anyone else. In 6 months, I've graduated from crowd work to one of Mac's bathing beauties to supporting roles.
Oh, you've a lot to thank Mr. Sennett for.
That's right.
We finished our meal and left. And when we went outside, I stopped Amber and gently raised her chin. She curled her arms around my neck and responded to my kiss.
Oh, Keystone, I think you better drive me home.
Home was a bungalow in Santa Monica.
Well, here we are.
Yes, we're here. Oh, I just feel...
What?
It feels like what's happened today has been so important.
Do you really think so?
Keystone?
Yes?
Can I ask a favor?
Well, of course.
Would you mind if I leave one of my bags in the trunk of your beautiful brush?
Well, of course not.
It's nothing important.
Oh, I don't mind what it is, so long as it's yours.
Oh, aren't you the perfect gentleman?
I'm not sure that's what I aspire to be, Amber.
Well, the bag's got nothing but my makeup in it. I'll only need to carry it back to the studio again on Monday. You don't mind keeping it for me until then?
It would be my great pleasure.
Still, I don't know. Leaving private and personal things like makeup. I bet you'll go poking in my poor bag and learn all my secrets.
I'd never do something like that. I promise.
I'd sure like to believe you.
Would you?
Do you know why?
Why?
Because if you have my little old bag, it means I'll have an excuse to see you on Monday, even though you'll likely be on a set somewhere making a picture yourself.
Will I?
Oh, I should think so. Mr. Sennett will have everybody back to work as if nothing had happened.
Well, if I don't see you on Monday, it'll be a dark day for me, whether I'm making my first picture or not.
Oh, that's so sweet. Keystone?
What?
Would you care to come in for a bit?
Oh, I'd love to.
I'm afraid it's not very grand, but it is comfortable.
Comfortable sounds perfect to me.
Well, here we are then.
Oh, Amber, you are wonderful. So lovely, so warm, so...
Keystone, be nice. Would you like some coffee?
Coffee?
Yes, coffee. Thanks. Good. What's that?
What?
There was a sound from through there.
It's only my mother.
Your mother? Oh, you're teasing me.
Do you take me for a tease, Keystone?
I think I'd take you as anything.
I'll put the coffee on.
Well, that would be delightful.
Amber? Mother! Let me introduce Mr. Keystone. And Keystone, this is my mother.
That girl. 6 months at the studio and she hasn't told me a thing about you.
Well, that's hardly surprising, madam. We've only just met.
Oh, I understand. Amber thinks of nothing but her acting. And you must be far too occupied running your studio to meet up-and-coming actresses.
My studio? Madam, I'm one of the Keystone Cops.
Oh, there's no need to sound apologetic. The top man should know what happens on the studio floor.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm only an English actor compelled to scrape a living being hit by custard pies. My name is Warwick Easton, but for his own reasons, Mr. Sennett calls me Keystone. That's all.
Oh, I see. Well, never mind. You drove my little Amber home all the way from Exposition Park.
That's right, Mrs. Honeybee.
And your very own automobile, too. My, my, my.
Mother, don't quiz the poor man.
I'm sure you understand, don't you, Mr. Keystone? A mother's got a duty to look after her daughter and see that she makes the best of her talents. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely, Mrs. Honeybee.
There you are. Did you hear that, Amber? Mr. Keystone agrees with me.
Mr. Keystone is a very agreeable man, Mother.
She says you're a very agreeable man, Mr. Keystone.
I certainly try to be, Mrs. Honeybee.
She's no Sarah Bernhardt, my daughter. Oh, but she is prettier.
Unquestionably.
You've noticed that, then?
Yes.
I think it's time you told me a little more about yourself, Mr. Keystone. You're not a married man, by any chance.
He has 11 children and he's twice divorced. Mother, don't be so embarrassing.
You're not, are you?
No.
Good.
The coffee's nearly ready. I'll be in to rescue you in just a moment. Do you take sugar, Keystone?
Yes, please.
Oh, and don't forget the cookies, Amber. You do like cookies, don't you, Mr. Keystone? I made them myself.
I love cookies, Mrs. Honeybee.
It's an old family recipe. The secret is to use lard instead of...
On Monday morning, though I looked everywhere for Amber, the first familiar face I saw was rather a different one.
Hey, Keystone, so you showed up after all. The boys here were betting that after watching that roller coaster ride, you'd be three states away by now.
You don't get rid of me that easily, Frank.
Well, let me introduce a couple of the fellas. This here is Chester Conklin.
Howdy.
Chester Conklin stood about 5 foot in his shoes, with eyes like ping-pong balls and a droopy moustache.
And this is Slim Somerville.
Pleased to meet you.
Slim was a lamppost of a man whose clothes threatened to slip off him. I had seen him often on the screen.
What'd you say the name was?
Mac calls him Keystone.
But you can call me...
Keystone!
One thing you learn around here.
If Mac Center calls you Keystone...
Your name is Keystone.
So, what happens now?
Ah, the second thing, we head for the studio bulletin board to see the shooting schedule this week.
The second thing?
Ah, but first...
Yes?
You tell us how you made out Friday night.
I beg your pardon?
With the honeybee, Keystone, how did it work out?
How did you know I was with Amber?
He gave her a ride in his automobile, Chester.
He has an automobile, Slim?
Oh, yes, he has an automobile.
The honeybee likes automobiles.
No question. She loves an automobile.
So, how'd you do?
I am sorry, gentlemen. Much as I appreciate your interest, my personal and private life is not a topic for general discussion.
I get it. You mean you want to keep the discussion on a purely professional footing?
Exactly.
So where did your automobile go, Keystone? Did you find a good location?
An interior, maybe.
Any interesting angles? Unusual shots?
Maybe even a double exposure?
I fail to see what is so remarkable in my offering Miss Honeybee a lift when the last tram car had already gone.
Relax, Keystone. Let's just say you're not unique.
Meaning?
Each of us has tried to date Amber at some time, and sooner or later...
Later, in my case.
We thought we had achieved the ultimate.
We each got invited home, and we met Mother.
Ah, and I met sweet little old Mother, too. But were any of you offered cooking?
Any group like the Keystone Cops would initiate a new member, and if nothing worse happened to me than a little ragging, I'd be well off. I followed as the other cops went to the studio bulletin board.
There you are, Keystone. One sheet for each picture being made this week, along with the personnel in it.
Tarnation. Look at that, Chester.
I don't believe it, Slayer.
What's happening? Or is this another rat?
Hey, are you little Amber's good luck charm or what?
Huh? Well, tell me what's happened.
Well, our picture this week is Kidnap in the Park.
Uh-huh.
The leading players will be Roscoe Arbuckle.
We're working with Fatty Arbuckle.
Never, ever call him Fatty to his face. He don't like it one bit. And I tell you this, you'll never see a guy that size who is as agile and graceful and quick as Roscoe is. The sweetest guy in the world.
Unless you call him Fatty.
Mm.
And Harry Gribben.
He was the villain from the roller coaster, right?
I don't think it's real smart to talk about roller coasters for a while either, Keystone.
Good money, being a villain, though. Harry can tell you.
And it should be Mabel Normand.
Mabel Normand.
Should be, but it isn't. The leading lady for Kidnap in the Park is...
Amber Honeybee?
Amber? Really?
I'd have bet a lot of money against that little filly ever getting a leading role.
Well, why shouldn't she?
She looks good, but she don't act so good.
So how in God's name did she manage it?
Could be that God isn't involved.
It could be that he is. Only here on Earth, God's called Mac Sennett.
Mac and Mabel have a falling out?
Could be he's trying to make her jealous, Slim.
Could be he's succeeding, Chester.
Hey, you're not suggesting...
That Mac Sennett wouldn't have to meet Mother once he decided to put Amber in a leading role. Well, what do you think?
You take that back!
Cool off, Keystone. But I'll tell you this for nothing. Little Amber has been trying to get a leading part ever since she got here. And never once has there been a hint that Mac intended any such thing. But maybe all that's happened is that you are her good luck charm. Friday you show up, and next Monday Amber's dream comes true. You just point that out to her and make the best of it. That's my advice.
That's his advice, Keystone. You just point that out.
The Keystone cops weren't required for Kidnap in the Park till 2 p.m. Frank's leg meant that he would be watching the clapperboard and not riding the running board. But he took me to the set in the morning so I could see how a picture began. For this picture, the director was again Murray Brennan.
There's a rumor about Brennan, you know.
What's that?
Well, they say he's about to leave Senate and set up on his own. His wife came into some money when her parents died, and they've been angling to set up ever since. People say it's about to happen.
Daylight waits for no man. Let's get to work, boys and girls. Everybody gather around where you can hear me.
Here, come on.
But we're not in this scene.
That's okay. He won't mind. Good morning, Mr. Brennan.
Frank, good to see you hobbling about. Maybe we can work up a gag with a man in a plaster cast.
Not until my cast is optional, Mr. Brennan, please.
Yes, I met you last Friday, didn't I?
Yes, sir. My name is Keystone.
Yes, I trust the cops are showing you the ropes.
And the chains and the nets and the bear traps.
All right, now, let's talk about the picture. It's a simple kidnap story with the usual chase. Our new leading lady is Miss Amber Honeybee. Amber, here.
Hello.
Is Mabel sick?
Why, that's not very nice.
Now, Mac has decided to rest Mabel this week.
Oh, that's nuts. Mabel's 2 reelers make a fortune.
Now, every studio needs to develop new talent, and I, for one, am glad that Amber is going to get her chance.
Thank you, Murray.
You're welcome, Amber. In Kidnap in the Park, Amber plays a nursemaid. Her employer sends her to the park with his squalling baby. Let me introduce Baby Arnold, who will undoubtedly wake up when the time comes. Now, Arnold is already a veteran of 3 motion pictures, so life on the set is nothing new to him. Once in the park with the baby, nursemaid Amber is distracted by a guy who is fooling with the ducks in the pond.
What kind of picture is this?
The duck lover is a large man. Allow me to present Roscoe Arbuckle.
A judicious introduction, Murray.
Thank you, Roscoe. Then, while Amber and Roscoe play ducks and drakes, the heavy, that's Harry Gribben, the heavy steals the kid.
What for?
The heavy steals Baby Arnold, and Roscoe pursues them in his old tin Lizzie, while Amber calls the cops.
Hey!
And naturally, when they arrive on the scene, they arrest Roscoe.
Oh.
And Harry gets away.
Boo!
But Amber is not as loopy as the lawmen.
Oh.
Yes, she has held on to a bit of wool from Baby Arnold's clothing, and the knitting unravels as the heavy drives to his cliff-top
hideout.
Ooh.
The story reaches a spectacular conclusion as the cops follow the wool and seem to drive off the clifftop. But luckily, they jump out just in time to rescue baby Arnold and catch the malefactor.
Yay!
We shoot the park scenes this morning, early cop scenes this afternoon, we'll shoot interiors tomorrow morning, and the chase in the afternoon. Wednesday morning, we'll catch the early light at Gale Head for the clifftop stunt, followed by the escapes, and Thursday, we'll reshoot anything we don't like in the rushes. All right, any questions?
Mr. Brunner.
Yeah, we always shoot the chase and the big stunts last, in case of injuries.
Will the clifftop stunt be as dangerous as the one that killed Sullivan?
No. Probably just a car full of cops going over the cliff, and everybody has to jump out.
Oh.
That's the one stunt it's an advantage to be on the running board for. Just my luck.
Okay, everybody, let's get started.
Okay, boss.
We stayed and watched as Murray organized the first shot in the park and began a rehearsal, then a take. All the technical people understood what was wanted almost without it being explained. In fact, the cameraman and the prop handlers were all new faces to me. Everybody, in fact, except for Winnie from wardrobe.
I see you get thrown in for real this afternoon, Keystone.
My first scenes in moving pictures.
Action!
Next time, get your uniform first thing in the morning, even if you're not called till the afternoon.
But I...
That's in case the director feels a sudden urge to film the cops, or if we get ahead of schedule.
Oh, right, I will.
Personal clothes in a basket.
And my name on the outside. Got it.
Cut! 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 Amber! Amber, darling, I think we're going to have to tone down your performance just a tittle.
Uh-oh, our little Amber is struggling.
That's no surprise.
Did you ever see a nursemaid who entered a park parading like she was Cleopatra?
But I thought I was doing what you asked me to.
More relaxed! You've got to be more relaxed.
Mr. Brennan, I'd like to clarify something right now. Am I the leading lady in this movie?
That is my understanding.
Well, as this is my debut, I intend to be noticed from the start.
Oh, brother.
And so it went. No matter how many bit parts Amber may have played, finding the camera aimed directly at her made her dramatize every moment for all it was worth. Shooting went very slowly for most of the morning, but gradually scenes were finished.
She's getting better, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. She's only terrible now. But Murray is being incredibly patient with her. If she's got anything, Murray is the director to find it.
I hope so.
And cut! Very good, Amber. All right, everybody, let's break for lunch. Don't wander. We've got to start again at 1 o'clock sharp. We'll wrap up the kidnap and then shoot Amber, bringing in the cops.
Let's just shoot Amber.
Keystone.
Oh.
Keystone.
I'll see you in the canteen.
How was I? Was I good, do you think?
I thought... You were wonderful, Amber.
Be honest. It was a bit sticky, wasn't it? Especially at the beginning.
Oh, you were just wonderful.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
Amber?
Yes, Murray?
I'd like you to join me and Louise for lunch.
Why, I'd love to.
Bring your friend, if you like. It's Keystone, right?
Right.
Well, we'll be at the far end. Don't be long.
We won't. Keystone.
If you'd rather I didn't come,
Oh, it's not that. You know the makeup bag you have in the trunk of your car?
I looked everywhere for you this morning. Shall I get it now?
No. I mean, they have makeup specially for us, the leading players.
Oh.
I forgot that's how they do it. So I wondered whether you'd mind hanging on to it for a while longer, so I don't have to carry it around.
Of course.
Oh, thank you. And come on, we have an invitation.
And there I was. Not only with a ready-made excuse to see Amber again, but eating lunch with her at the table of a real movie director.
Louise, this is Amber Honeybee.
Louise Brennan was younger than her husband, about 30. She had a long, pale, well-powdered face and light brown hair. She carried a lilac-coloured parasol that matched her hat.
Amber is our newest leading lady, and the young man is Keystone, our newest cop.
I'm pleased to meet you both.
That down you. It'll put hairs on your chest.
Yes. Especially as it means the table is full and will be spared the company of a certain uncouth individual.
Her eyes led us all to look at a table across the room where Max Sennett was holding court.
When he got out of the pool, he would start naked. In the puff! I laugh until I cry.
I long for the day that Murray can make serious motion pictures and not slapstick comedy.
So do I, but careful, dear.
Yes, I know.
Ah,
May I take your order?
Yes, I'll have a T-bone steak.
A T-bone steak.
They taste good and don't take long to prepare.
That will be delightful. Thank you.
Certainly suits me, sir.
I shall have the fish, and please make sure it's not smothered in sauce.
Certainly, madame.
As Louise had expressed distaste for exactly the kind of comedy I had just been hired to play, I tried to find a less hazardous avenue of conversation as I tucked into my T-bone. So, how did you start in motion pictures, Mr. Brenner?
Oh, with a bang, Keystone. San Francisco, August 1906.
The earthquake?
Yes, that's it. My father had a drugstore, but after the quake, it was just a pile of remedies and dust. I cleared the place out, rented 50 chairs, and opened a Nickelodeon.
I've only read and heard about the earthquake, but weren't thousands of people killed?
They were.
Including my first husband.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
In one of the fires that broke out everywhere.
Oh, how tragic. Mm.
Not really. We were utterly incompatible. Divorce was out of the question, but we already lived separately. Oh, it was sad for him, of course.
No, two ways about it. She'll be after me no matter what I do. Kind of takes the edge off it, you know what I mean?
Oh, loathsome man. He is beyond the pale of decency.
Louise.
Still, I'd have thought it was a good time to open a Nickelodeon, Mr. Brenner.
You'd have thought right.
1 year later, Murray had 4 Nickelodeons, and he had married me.
Oh, I see.
I couldn't go wrong in 07, but Louise was a better break than the picture houses. Oh. She spotted that the real money was in making movies, not in showing them, so we moved to Los Angeles, and it's where all the pictures are made these days. Our plan has always been to get into the production side, and I've learned the business inside out by working my way up here. I've done everything, and now we're just about there. We built up some capital and got a timely boost not long ago with a little inheritance, and, well, that's why I wanted a word with you, Amber.
What about, Mr. Brennan?
Well, to introduce you to Louise, but also to say that you may have become a leading lady just at the right time. This could be a big break for you.
Oh, I know that, Mr. Brennan.
What a sweet little foursome you've got here, Murray. Not only our new leading lady, but the new cop, too. What's the matter? You tired of all the old hands?
Just trying to make the newcomers feel comfortable, Mac.
Oh, sink or swim, that's the way I do it. Oh, well, takes all kinds.
So it seems.
But a word to the wise, Murray. Watch your back. Nice guys can be taken advantage of in this business.
I don't know what you mean.
No, of course not. And the estimable Mrs. Brennan. How's you, Louise? That fish okay? You got enough sauce?
It's delightful, Mr. Sennett.
Only reason I come over here is to be called Mr. in that fancy pants way. Oh, I love it.
Honestly.
So, how's Kidnapping the Park going?
Just fine, Mac.
And do we have a new star in the making?
I certainly hope so.
Well, little advice, Miss Honeybee.
What's that, Mr. Sennett?
You take your chances when they present themselves. Chances only come to once. But I think you already know that. Hey, listen to me. Full of advice today. I gotta go. Mind the fish bones.
What do you think he meant by all that? Do you think he knows?
Frankly, I couldn't care less. I'm leaving, Murray. I couldn't eat another bite after that.
Amber, it's difficult to talk here, but maybe you and your friend, if you like, could come to dinner with us, say, tomorrow night.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yes, of course we'll come.
And meanwhile, I know you're trying hard to get the best out of your part today.
Oh, I am.
Murray?
But a word to the wise. I think you'll do better, Amber, if you don't try quite so hard.
I'll try not to try.
Fine. See you shortly.
I couldn't work Brennan out. Either he was hinting that when he set up his own production company, he would invite Amber to join it, or he was being a clever director and using the idea as a carrot to encourage Amber to take the direction he'd been trying to give her all morning. Do less, not more. But I couldn't stay to talk it over with her. I had to get to wardrobe, pick up my uniform, store my own clothes in a basket, and get back to the set for my first afternoon on film as a Keystone cop.
All right, gentlemen, you know the story. Yes, nursemaid Amber has come to you for help to get the kidnapped baby back. Yeah. And she finds you patrolling on the beach, where there just happens to be a bevy of beautiful girls in bathing togs.
As well as the Keystone Cops, Max Sennett's studio was famous for the Sennett bathing beauties, who turned up in the most surprising places, picture after picture.
Sorry, girls, our new boy Keystone is already spoken for.
All right, now, the cops will come in from the left and head in the direction of those changing chalets over there.
Oh, no. Would one of you ask that guy on the beach to move out of camera range?
I'd go, Mr. Brennan, except for my leg.
I'll do it, Mr. Brennan.
Oh, well, thanks, Keystone. Right, now Amber will run onto the beach from the street.
I strolled across the sand towards the white-suited, Panama-hatted man propped on one elbow looking at a magazine. I wondered if my cop's uniform would startle him. You don't expect to be cautioned by the police for lying on a public beach. I resolved to be considerate.
Excuse me, sir. Would you mind awfully moving further down the seafront? You see, we're in the process of making...
But I realized that the man wasn't responding to my approach, and he even seemed not to be breathing. After a moment, I touched his shoulder. He slumped face down into the sand.
Oh, no!
I knelt beside him and gingerly touched his arm.
Someone get an ambulance! This man needs help!
I knew I should turn him over, yet I felt the reluctance to make contact that most of us feel when faced with death. But I took a deep breath and turned him onto his back. And immediately the dead man twitched and half sat up.
Oh, my God!
And he started to move. He began to skim away from me across the sand.
Hey! What? No, I mean, don't!
As I turned to follow him, I saw that a rope was attached to his leg. A rope previously buried in the sand. A rope being furiously reeled in by Chester Conklin and Slim Somerville. It was all a practical joke. Murray Brennan, the new cameraman, Amber, the Keystone Cops, and all the Senate bathing beauties had watched my entire performance.
Worth all the planning, Chester.
Sure was, Slim. Keystone, you went for that like a pig after an apple.
Very amusing. No, really.
Best ever, do you think, Chester?
Oh, could be, Slim. Just about. Oh, no.
No?
No, Charlie Chaplin, he was better.
You're right. That was the best.
And what did you do to him?
We were in the studio, see, and I got the electrician to electrify the urinal.
The urinal? Charlie got... goes in to take
I
a leak.
Threw the switch, and I swear that's how he learned the tramp's wobbly walk.
All right, boys, we've baptized the new baby. Let's get to work now.
Come on.
After that, making a motion picture was child's play.
Hi, you enjoy your first day on the set, Keystone?
Once the movie-making got started.
Your face!
All right.
Coming for a drink and a friendly game of cards?
Thanks, but I'm waiting for Amber.
Ah, well, she'll be forever in the makeup tent, grabbing everyone she sees to ask how she did. Oh, you got it bad, have you?
I just thought I'd offer her a lift.
Ah, playing the automobile. Well, that's as good as an ace any day.
Really?
And say hello to Mother for me.
The film industry was centered in Los Angeles because it so rarely rained there. Films required daylight. That light could be enhanced by ingenious and powerful sun reflectors, but once the sun was down, movie making was finished. So, at least I knew when to hang around waiting for Amber. While I was waiting, I decided to look in my trunk and make sure that the makeup bag I was keeping for her was safe. And at first I was glad I looked, because I saw that the bag had worked open.
Good Lord.
I didn't go prying, honestly. But I didn't have to. It was obvious there was no collection of makeup creams and potions in the bag. All it contained was a metal film canister.
There you are, Keystone. I just knew you wouldn't desert me, not on such a wonderful day.
How did it go?
Murray says this afternoon was masses better than this morning.
Oh, I'm glad.
This really is my big break, even though it's a comedy.
Is there something wrong with a comedy?
No, but it's not real drama, is it?
I recognized the theme that had been hinted at by Louise and Murray Brennan at lunch, that serious films were better than comedies. Amber, who had worked so hard to become a leading lady in a Keystone comedy, was already dissatisfied after less than a day. I was smitten with a very beautiful young woman, all right. A beautiful, ambitious young woman.
Oh, Keystone, let's go for a drive, can we?
Amber, while I was waiting, I looked in my trunk.
Was there something wrong with it?
Well, I did. I saw that your bag has come open.
My bag?
Your makeup bag.
It
was open?
I saw what was in it, but I couldn't help it. Amber, what is the film?
Oh, not now, Keystone. It's not important. It's been such a long day. I'm so tired. Do you mind awfully just taking me home?
Of course. If that's what you want.
Yes. Yes, I think it is.
We drove silently to the little house in Santa Monica where Amber lived with her mother. But this time there were no cookies. Amber's mother ran out to meet us as we drove up.
Amber! Amber!
Mother, what's wrong?
Oh, you're all right. I was so worried.
Why shouldn't I be?
Well, when it got so late...
Tell me what's happened.
There's been an intruder in the house.
Mother!
Well, I went out shopping this afternoon, and when I came back... Well, come in and see.
Mother!
All I did was stop in at Dr. Rosker's, and I did a little shopping at the Emporium.
Everything's been turned upside down!
I found the most darling dressing gown, magenta with little pink bunnies. Now that my daughter's a leading lady...
Mother, I think you should sit down.
Chad, just let me get
it. I wasn't out of the house more than 2 hours. Well, maybe 2.5 at the most.
Sit down now, Mother. I'll make some tea.
No, I'll go make the tea.
Amber, it's as if someone was looking for something.
Here? But why? Looking for what?
I think I've got a pretty good idea.
Let me calm Mother down, and then we'll talk.
Calming Mother down took quite a while, but eventually Amber joined me outside. We stood by the brush.
I wasn't entirely frank with you, Keystone.
It's the film in my trunk, isn't it?
It has to be. That's the only thing, Mother, I have that would be of the slightest interest to anybody else.
What is it, Fillmore?
The accident.
Accident?
In Exposition Park. When Sandy Sullivan was killed.
I didn't know his name was Sandy.
Yes.
Amber, were you and this Sullivan...
No! Let me explain, Keystone.
All right.
It's Max Sennett. His pictures are filmed all over town... If it became known that Keystone's stunts are truly dangerous, town officials would stop giving him permission. It would cripple the studio. You heard Mac promise money to the police benevolent fund. Mac would do almost anything rather than damage the studio.
Even give whoever has the film a leading part in a comedy picture?
He might.
Oh, Amber.
I deserved the chance. I really did. It was Mabel that kept me from getting it before now.
Mabel? Norman?
She's engaged to Mac. She has been for years. And she's jealous of anyone else who might make a hit with him. That's why just about all the leading women's parts go to her.
That and talent. I had seen a lot of her two reelers before I ever got to Los Angeles. It didn't take being engaged to Mabel Norman to recognize her gift for performing in moving pictures.
But Amber, how did you get the accident film?
I took it from Jake Harper's bag in the panic when everybody was running around.
And Sandy Sullivan lay dead.
There was nothing I could do for Sandy.
But there was something you could do for yourself.
Yes.
And now you've got your leading part.
I know you think badly of me, Keystone, and it wasn't a nice thing to do. I believe it's the very worst thing I've ever done. But this business is so unfair. I couldn't help but take the one opportunity I ever had when it came along. All I did was promise Mr. Sennett that the film would turn up if I got my leading part. That's all I ever wanted, to have one chance, one break.
And what you got was one break in. Oh, Amber, your mother was distraught.
Oh, she'll be fine after a good night's sleep. Oh, take the film back for me now, Keystone.
What?
Do that one last favor for me. Give it to Mr. Sennett tonight. And tell him, will you? Tell him I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, all right.
Thank you, Keystone. Oh, thank you.
Oh, Amber.
However, finding Max Sennett after hours was not an easy matter. I drove back to the studio, but the only person I found was the guard on the gate.
He left about an hour ago, young feller. Could be just about any place in this whole dang town.
Oh, thanks.
He'll be here first thing in the morning, though. Always is. Bright-eyed and puffed up like a squirrel's tail, even if he's been up all night.
But I had my own work to see to in the morning. My moving picture. And I didn't know what to do for the best. But then I got an idea. I could return the film not to Senate, but to the man Amber took it from, the cameraman, Jake Harper. And with Harper's likely whereabouts, the guard was much more forthcoming. It was dark, but not all that late.
Yeah? What do you want?
Harper's landlady was a gaunt woman, but with attractive Slavonic features. However, she was not alone. She answered the door with a hand on the collar of a huge dog. The beast was so big that to hold its collar, the landlady didn't have to bend over.
Quiet, Henrik. Yes, what do you want, please?
I've come to see Jake Harper.
Oh, Harper. He is the moving film man, yes?
Cameraman, yes.
You too are in moving films?
Yes, but not behind the camera. I am an actor.
Quiet, Henrik. Oh, don't fear. He is trained. He would not bite. Very clever animal, in fact.
I'm sure.
You better come in.
Thanks.
See? He makes the little joke.
Yes, I think it lost something in translation.
So you think there is chance to get into the moving films?
It doesn't pay very well, unless you're very lucky. I'm sure you'd make a better living staying here.
Me. Huh? I mean Henry.
Oh.
Wonderful actor. Makes growls. Listen. Henrik, make growl. See, genius dog.
I see, but to tell the truth, Mr. Harper has been working in pictures much longer than I have, and
oh,
I really...
Oh, Harper. He drinks much beer at the Sunset Inn or such place. No help at all.
Is Mr. Harper in now?
So, you're no help, Henrik?
I'll talk with Mr. Harper when I see him. I promise.
Yeah, all right.
So, which room is it?
Top floor, the front room.
Thank you. Oh.
No, Henrik, you let him pass. Get him when he comes back down.
Oh, you're not going to tell me I've come up all these stairs for nothing. Oh, Lord.
With the prospect of meeting Henrik at the bottom of the stairs, I actually tried the door handle. And to my surprise, it turned.
Oh.
And the door opened.
Mr. Harper? Mr. Harper? Oh, God!
He was there, all right, sitting in a chair, with a bloody hole in his forehead. For a moment, just a moment, it crossed my mind that this was another Keystone Cop's practical joke, that the blood was ketchup, that Slim and Chester and Frank were hiding outside the window ready to laugh, to pull a string and make the body jump, that the Senate bathing beauties would make another giggling entrance from the cupboard. But it didn't happen. This time, the dead man was real.
Now you...
At last!
You're the guy that found the body, right?
I found the body, yes.
And the name's, Keystone.
Actually, my name is Warwick Easton.
It says here you told the sergeant it was Keystone.
Oh, Keystone's what they call me, but it's not my real name. It's a contracted and foreshortened form.
You're trying to be some kind of clown.
Well, I'm doing my best to help.
But you're not helping, are you?
I'm sorry.
Hey, you foreign. You sound foreign to me.
I'm English.
Well, you're a long way from home, Mr. Foreshortened.
Yes.
You been in America long?
Almost 2 years.
Passport? No picture here. This could be fake.
It has my name and description.
May I have it back now, please?
When we finish with you, I want to check on this. So, did you know this stiff?
No, but I know he was a cameraman at Max Sennett Studios.
Oh, Max Sennett, huh?
Do you know Mr. Sennett?
I ain't never had that pleasure. So, you work for Sennett, too?
Yes, I'm part of the acting strength.
Not one of them Keystone cops.
Well, as a matter of fact, I am.
Oh, boy, I always wanted to meet one of you guys.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, one of the creeps who gets cheap laughs by making decent men in uniform look like...
asses?
What did you say?
Honestly, I was just trying to help you find the word you were looking for.
Oh, a real wiseacre, huh?
I found a dead man, and I reported it immediately. But I've been kept hanging around for hours and hours, even though there's nothing else I can do to help.
You want to get down to business? Let's get down to business.
Great.
Why'd you kill him, Easton?
What?
Didn't he make your kisser look handsome enough?
I didn't kill him. I just walked in, and there he was.
Why'd you kill him, you slimy piece of seaweed?
I didn't kill him.
Bullet through a man's head? Very nasty.
I didn't kill him.
Blowing his brains out. That's an ugly way to die.
No, I tell you, I didn't do it. Oh, for God's sake, you've got to believe me.
No, you didn't.
What?
You didn't kill him.
You know that?
Sure, he'd been dead at least 2 days. He was shot sometime over the weekend.
But if you already knew that, then why did...
Not so funny, my job, is it, Easton? Not like yours. Keystone cops, ha ha. Well, I'll tell you this, dead bodies don't make me laugh, pretty boy.
No.
No, dead bodies are no joke. And you can tell your boss all about it now, can't you, huh? You'll do that for a real cop, won't you? Huh? Get out of here. I got a murder to solve.
I left with my message for Max Sennett. And I still had something else for Mr. Sennett. The film of the accident at Exposition Park. Well, there was nothing more I could do with that now. I left it in the trunk of my automobile and drove home and tried to forget about it. And about Amber Honeybee, the most beautiful woman I had ever known. But I couldn't clear my mind. I tossed and turned all night, and it was worse when I did get to sleep.
I know you hate me, Keystone.
No, no, I don't.
I took the film from a dead man's bag.
He wasn't dead when you took it.
And I used the film to get my way, and because of me, the house was broken into and Mother upset.
Oh, Amber, Amber.
Of course you hate me, Keystone, so I'm going to go away and never come back again. No. Goodbye, Keystone.
No.
Goodbye.
No, Amber, don't go. Come back. Amber, Amber.
I woke before dawn, and as I lay sweating in bed, two of the facts that had been floating like random pieces all night long suddenly slotted together. Two facts. Jake Harper had been killed over the weekend. Amber's mother's house had been broken into while she was away on Monday afternoon. Could the two facts be related?
Keystone!
My first chance to speak to Amber was during the lunchtime break.
Oh, Keystone, I heard all about it. What happened to Jake and that you found the body. Was it absolutely awful?
Yesterday was the most terrible day and night of my life.
Oh, Keystone, I'm so sorry. Here, come here. Let me make it better.
And as she took me in her arms, I felt better.
Amber take the hurt away?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry I took the film, Keystone. Really, I am. Have you given it back to Mr. Sennett?
Not yet.
Oh, we can do it now. He's inside.
No, I don't think so.
But why not?
Amber, Jake Harper was killed over the weekend.
I know. Murdered.
Well, then yesterday, in the afternoon, someone broke into your mother's house.
Yes.
The person at your mother's was looking for the film.
I suppose so.
Amber, what if Jake's murderer was looking for the same thing?
The same?
Jake was the cameraman. He was supposed to have the film. Now, suppose the person who wanted it didn't believe Jake when he said it was missing.
And you mean shot him?
Hmm. Suppose that same person found out yesterday that you have the film.
And searched my house.
And didn't find it.
You mean Mac?
He's the one who knew you had it when you told him he'd get it back.
Oh, Keystone, that can't be right.
You said yourself how bad the publicity would be for the studio.
But he was going to get it back anyway.
But he wouldn't have known that over the weekend.
But that's a horrible thing to suggest.
Murdering Jake Harper was a horrible thing, too.
Oh, there you are, you two lovebirds.
Hello, Murray.
Mr. Brenner?
You haven't forgotten, have you?
Forgotten?
Dinner tonight. You're still coming.
Oh, well...
Yes, of course we're coming.
Great. Now, don't forget, we've got a long afternoon's work ahead of us. Make film while the sun shines. So get in there and get some food, and don't be late. Back to the set.
That was delicious, Louise. Oh, I don't know if I'm ever going to be comfortable calling you by your first name. Everything here, you, it's all so grand.
Oh, don't be silly, Amber. She's being silly, isn't she, darling?
Of course. Besides, I don't know how you can say we're grand when you've been invited to dinner with no one but ourselves to meet.
Oh, it's been wonderful, though, so European.
Why, thank you. Now, that is the most gracious thing you could say here in Hollywood, Keystone. More coffee?
Oh, thank you.
Amber?
Yes, please, Louise.
Well, Amber, I promised Louise we wouldn't talk business till after the meal, but we know each other better now, don't you think?
Business?
I think now's a good time, Murray.
You know, Amber, my guess is that when Kidnap in the Park is shipped, reactions to your performance will be pretty good.
Oh, do you really think so?
I do.
I'm pleased for you, my dear.
But my bet is that you aren't too crazy about playing comedy parts. You'd rather be in dramatic roles. Am I right?
Oh, how did you know?
Murray and I are about to launch a new company, Amber. One that makes serious pictures, 4 and 5 reels long. Murray wants to make pictures of the great classic stories of the Greeks.
Oh, great!
Like Helen of Troy.
How marvelous.
See, at the back of my mind, I have this movie almost ready. It's called The Siege, and I think you could play Helen better than any actress in America. But, unlike Mac, I intend to draw up proper contracts. And what we really want to know, Amber, is... Well, it's still too early to be specific.
So many things can go wrong, as we well know. Oh, the tiniest hint of scandal, say.
Scandals mean nobody will touch you in this business. But that doesn't apply to you, Amber, of course. So suppose an offer came along that meant you're leaving Mr. Sennett and working for another company. Would you...
Like a shot. Oh, I didn't mean to say with Jake Harper... Well, what I meant was I'd jump at a Greek role.
We understood what you meant, dear.
And what about you, Keystone? I haven't seen much of your work yet, but I gather you're something of an actor as well as an acrobat.
True.
If an offer came your way, would you consider it?
Well, not Helen of Troy. But maybe Alexander the Great.
That is one picture we definitely won't make.
Oh, may I ask why not?
Well...
It's all right.
Louise, had a previous marriage to a fellow called Alex, and her Alex was not great at all.
Oh, I see.
Yes, in fact, the son of a gun had just about every vice you'd care to mention. Gambling, women, booze.
You've made the point, Murray. No need to be distasteful.
Yes, all right.
It was a short and unhappy marriage. As I believe I mentioned yesterday, my first husband was a victim of the fire that followed the earthquake.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
But the important thing, Amber, is that you'd be willing to leave Mr. Sennett's studio.
I certainly would.
To tell you the truth, Murray, there's something in that area, something rather delicate, that we would like to ask you about.
Oh, yes? What's that?
It's about the murder.
The murder?
It was an abrupt change of subject, and obviously a far less happy one for a dinner party. Nevertheless, Murray and Louise were just about the only people in Hollywood Amber and I could confide in. You see, I think I know why Jake Harper was murdered.
The hell you do.
Murray.
Excuse language, but good heavens, Keystone, do you know what you're saying?
I think so. You see, I think he was killed for a reel of film. And, as luck would have it, I happen to be in possession of it.
You?
There is undeveloped film of the accident that killed Sandy Sullivan in Exposition Park. But I believe there is something on the film that Max Sennett wants so badly that he is willing to kill for it.
Good heavens.
And I have a favour to ask you, Murray. You know how to develop film, don't you?
Sure.
I'd like you to help me develop the film and then watch it with me. so that we can tell what it is that's so awful for Mac or the studio that it would be worth committing murder for. I'd take it directly to the police, but my experience with them last night was hardly one to inspire confidence.
I don't know what to say.
I think you have no option but to help Keystone, Murray.
Yes, I suppose.
In fact, given the gravity of the event, I think you should do it now.
Now?
If you don't mind.
And perhaps Amber would be willing to stay here with me, to keep me company until you both get back.
Oh, of course I would, Louise.
There were not many things Amber wouldn't have done that night for Murray and Louise. From the look on Amber's face, it was clear that she was already launching ships.
Hold on there. Just word that the two of you young fellas think you're going.
Hello, Warren. It's me, Murray Brennan.
How do, Mr. Brennan?
Mr. Keystone and I are going to the studio developing lab.
Oh, yes. Well, just you be careful with that chemical muck they got in there.
Sure will. Take it easy, old-timer. This, my young friend, is where all the Mack Sennett comedies really come to life.
Fuck. So many machines.
You got to hand it to Mac. He was one of the first to go over to mechanized continuous printers. But...
What?
This way.
Murray led the way to a door in the corner of the main lab. Inside was an old-style manual darkroom, kept functional in case of machine breakdown. The stench of the chemicals was overwhelming.
Good grief! How can anybody work in here?
You get used to it after a year or two, or die. Well, let's get on with it.
Murray prepared to develop the film. Then he took it from its can and slotted the first few feet between the pegs on the developing racks. Once he found where everything was kept, he worked fast and expertly until finally there was something to see.
Look at this, Keystone.
Huh?
After the first minute and a half, something on the film looks wrong.
I can't make the images out clearly. Is that what you mean?
I'll develop the rest of the reel, just in case.
And after 40 minutes of concentrated work, everything on the film was visible.
Turn the lights up.
Right.
Let's see what we've got.
We held the opening length of negative up and studied it together.
It's Exposition Park.
This is the film Jake Harper was making when Sandy Sullivan had his accident. Murray, can we put this film through a projector?
We'd have to dry it and then make a print.
Yes, but can we do that?
Sure we can.
All it took was time and Murray's expertise. Then we moved to the closest available projection room, the one where Mack Sennett himself viewed films.
In this very room, the king of comedy holds his thumb up or down after he sees each of his pictures. Careers are made or finished. He always sits there.
In the rocking chair?
And if he likes a picture...
What?
Nothing. Not a sound. But if the chair rocks... Watch out. And does he make it easy on the director if he doesn't like it, even if there are circumstances beyond the director's control?
Does he?
Does he, hell?
Oh, I see.
Okay, let's see what we've got.
All the film had been shot at Exposition Park.
You recognize what I was doing there?
Huh?
The panning around the park.
Oh.
Yeah, they're called establishing shots. They establish where we are for the audience. Ah, now here's Mabel buying a ticket.
Mabel Normand in white bonnet and white laundress as she walked to the roller coaster ticket kiosk.
And here comes Harry.
Villainous moustache, lascivious eyes and all, Harry Gribben.
Harry watches Mabel. Mabel takes out a coin, buys a ticket. Next in line, Harry does the same.
Except Harry Gribben dropped his ticket and turned to the camera and made a rude gesture. Oh, so he and Mabel both bought tickets again. A retake.
Now, the roller coaster. From this angle, we shot up the track, so we saw the cops climbing up and the car coming down.
And that's what happened. I was petrified as I watched the car hurtle down the track. I was about to relive the nightmare of Sandy Sullivan being killed.
Oh, God.
Only instead, Sullivan jumped clear.
The rehearsal run.
Oh.
Followed by the second take.
And then it all began again. The death take. Only it wasn't what I expected. Something was wrong. It was hard to make out what was happening.
Hey, that's not very good.
Why is it so pale?
It seems to be overexposed.
And when it got to the critical moment, there was nothing to be seen at all.
So, what do you make of that, Keystone?
How ironic.
What?
Max Sennett needn't have worried after all.
Huh. No.
No, I mean, the accident isn't even on the film. Nobody seeing that could tell what had happened, even whether anyone was hurt. No. Nobody could criticise the studio from that, could they?
Hmm.
Oh, dear. It looks like I broke up the dinner party for nothing, Murray. I am terribly sorry.
Oh, thinking what you did, how could you do anything else?
It's very late, and the shoot starts early tomorrow, doesn't it?
Ah, yes, the crack of dawn at Gale Head. The scene where the car full of cops goes over the cliff, only they all jump out just in the nick of time.
The last scheduled day of filming. Always saved for the spectacular and dangerous stunts in case of accident. A sobering thought after what we had been watching. We drove back to the Brennan's house. But when we went in, Amber was already asleep.
I hope you don't mind, Keystone. The dear girl was so tired, I insisted she go to bed.
Oh.
I know you have to be up early, too, but she is a featured player.
Not at all. It's very thoughtful of you.
In fact, why don't you stay over as well? Oh, it's a very large house. There won't be the slightest hint of indiscretion. In fact, I won't even tell you which room Amber is in.
That is a good idea, Keystone. We're closer to Gale Head here than you would be in town, anyway.
Well, if it isn't too much trouble...
None at all, I do assure you.
But once tucked up in a guest room, I couldn't sleep. Festering inside me was the feeling that something was wrong with what had happened tonight. Or with something I'd seen. But what? I reviewed the evening. I reviewed the film that Murray and I had watched. I reviewed my own memories from Exposition Park, my very first day in the moving pictures business. That day was as sharp in my memory as any picture could be. And then, as I replayed it all in my head, I was struck by a terrible idea of what was wrong with what I had seen. And once I had the idea, I made a connection that might explain it, that might explain a lot. I got out of bed and dressed rapidly, then made my way downstairs in the dark as swiftly as I dared.
Damn!
Then went quietly out to my automobile. The Brennan household might well be a long way from town, but I had to make another trip back to the studio that night, because it was the only way I could confirm what I now suspected.
Hey, not so fast there, young fella. Let's have a look at you.
Me again, Warren?
And who's me when he's down out of the cactus?
I was here earlier with Murray Brennan. We went to the developing lab.
Both in a confounded hurry. I remember you. Now, what's your business in the studio this time, young fella?
Something left behind.
I was after something that had been left behind, all right, but not left behind by me. I had been through the routine myself by now. Come to wardrobe before work. Trade your own clothes for, in my case, a cop's uniform. Leave your possessions in a basket with your name clipped to it. Could be 100 people working at any one time in films being made simultaneously at the Senate studios. Oh, 100 wardrobe baskets. And then I found it. The basket labelled Sandy Sullivan. Left unclaimed after his final appearance at Exposition Park. And inside, the estate of Sandy Sullivan. Jacket, trousers, shirt, the cuffs. And in the jacket pocket, wallet. And in the wallet, $3 and... A wallet is the place for things that are more important than money. The things that one truly values. The things that one carries every day. I keep a picture of my mother and favourable clippings of my appearances as an acrobat. But Sandy Sullivan had neither photographs nor personal mementos. For him, the item of supreme value was a marriage licence. It had been issued in San Francisco on October the 8th, 1904. Alexander Sullivan, bachelor, 20, had married Louise May, spinster, 19. Louise.
Louise had a previous marriage to a fellow called Alex, and her Alex was not great at all.
Sandy Sullivan. A man who had not, after all, perished in the calamitous aftermath of the San Francisco earthquake.
In fact, the son of a gun had every vice you'd care to mention. Gambling, women, booze.
And, it seemed, blackmail.
Now, who's that? Oh, it's you.
Yes, I'm off now. Thank you.
What's the almighty hurry, young fella? Can't be good for you, the way you youngsters always carry on as if everything's a matter of life and death.
Come on. Come on. Start, damn it. Start.
I knew it all now. And all I knew was that I had to get back to the house. Even as I drove, the darkness along the eastern horizon began its long melt into day. But the time spent driving served its purpose. I worked out that when I got back to the Brennans, I had to leave the car out of earshot. I had to sneak into the house and up to the room where I was supposed to be asleep. My only chance, Amber's only chance, was if Murray and Louise did not find out that I knew. I made it to the stairs easily enough.
Going somewhere, Mr. Keystone?
Mrs. Brennan. Hello. I was restless, couldn't sleep. Went for a little walk.
But it was so dark before the sun started to rise. I'm surprised you didn't do yourself an injury.
Oh, no. Perfectly all right, see?
Is there enough light now for you to see what I have in my hand? Put your hands up.
Isn't this a trifle melodramatic, Mrs. Brennan? Or should I call you Mrs. Sullivan?
Just in case you're wondering, the safety catch is off. And I'm not bluffing.
Oh, I don't doubt it. You've already killed Sandy Sullivan and Jake Harper.
I didn't kill them.
Oh, you don't need blood on your hands to be guilty of murder.
I didn't want Jake to die.
Oh, I see. You only wanted your husband to die, or should I say, your first husband.
I told Murray you'd worked it out. As soon as I heard you drive that car years away, I told him you knew. He didn't think you'd get it, but he was wrong.
Where's Amber? What have you done with Amber?
But even though you'd slipped away in the night, I knew you'd be back. For your little Amber. No matter what you knew.
Where is she?
Amber is about to make her final appearance in a moving picture. Stop right there! If you'd been here half an hour ago, you could have accompanied her.
What do you mean?
Do you know enough about the business to know how we film spectacular escapes from automobiles that go over cliffs? We shoot an automobile full of Keystone cops as it rolls over the cliff and down into the thunder and sea. Later, we shoot the escapes from another automobile and then cut them into the spectacular main shot in the editing room. The first automobile actually goes over, you see, but the cops inside are all dummies in uniform. But this time, one of the dummies will be Amber.
What?
Trussed up, hair cropped, face painted white. Drugged. Oh, I did a thorough job. Oh, she won't feel a thing. An appropriate end. A tidy end.
But why?
Because you know about the accident in Exposition Park. And we can't get free of you without getting free of her. With the two of you gone, Murray and I will be free to set up the new company. Free from the anxiety and the past.
Was he asking too much in the way of blackmail? Your husband?
Alex would never have stopped short of ruining us. I knew the man, don't forget. I was married to him, after all.
And still were. Up to his death.
It was the only way to deal with the problem permanently. I worked out how. Murray did it.
Oh, I know. It's on the film.
And it was. Alexander Sandy Sullivan's death did not show up on the film. Too much light. Yet in the rehearsal run, the light was perfect. What I had remembered, at last, was what happened between the rehearsal and the final take. While I stood watching her, Amber joined Murray as he talked to Jake. Then Murray walked away, to the sun reflectors, and he adjusted them. It was Murray who changed the lighting. Murray who refocused the blazing glare of the California sun so that it would dazzle and blind the stuntman. It was Murray who turned the stunt from daring to deadly. Afterwards, when Jake Harper had packed up his gear, he would have seen what happened and worked out who must have done it. Murray, and Louise, expected to recover the final bit of evidence, the unexposed film, at the same time that Harper was killed. But they hadn't figured on the ambition of a would-be star. Amber. My Amber. Who had stolen the film and, it seemed, sealed her own fate.
Where would you like to kill me, Mrs. Brenner?
What?
Without Amber, my life isn't worth living. Oh, I'm sure you don't want to blow my brains out in your front hallway. No, no, no. There must be somewhere more out of the way, less messy. Or perhaps you don't want to shoot me at all.
What are you up to?
Oh, I know. Why don't you tie me up and wait for Murray to come back? Yes, that's it. If Amber has died by going off the cliff at Galehead, that's how I want to die too.
Stop that. Where are you going?
Oh, just upstairs. That way visitors won't stumble across me inadvertently. Then, when Murray gets back and you get a chance to sort out details...
Oh, I know your game. You were in vaudeville before you turned up here. What did you do on the halls? Were you, by any chance, an escapologist? You want me to tie you up and leave you so you can escape? Well, I won't do it.
But she was wrong. On the halls, I wasn't an escapologist. I was an acrobat. Once I was high enough on the stairs to fly the distance between us, it was only a matter of picking my moment. Fortunately, I did it well enough that the shot went wild. Then it was I who tied her up.
If it happens that you're an escapologist, Mrs. Brennan, good luck to you.
You'll never get there in time.
I was terribly afraid that she would be right. I had no trouble from the motor car. It ran like a ball across a billiard table. But I had not lighted the lamps for fear of alerting Murray. So I was at the mercy of potholes and stones. Fortunately, I knew where I was going. Galehead was about 12 miles up the coast, a dramatic outcropping of rocks blessed with ledges where a camera could be perfectly placed to utilize the rising sun. I'd never been there, but it was a favorite location for the kind of stunt Murray intended to film. And Galehead, like many unique natural features near Los Angeles, had already appeared in many motion pictures. Already, there was a light tinge to the sky. Filming wouldn't start the moment the sun was up, but neither would it be long delayed. The improving light would help me spot the Keystone Company cars, but the same light... I just had to get there as fast as I could. I'd been driving at full throttle for 20 minutes when I spotted them. The going was rougher here, and I cursed each chugging ascent. The light was improving all the time. The road dipped for a few hundred yards, and then at last I snaked around the peak of Galehead and saw Murray Brennan not 40 yards ahead of me, at the cliff edge. He was standing with a cluster of Keystone cops. Real ones. But nowhere could I see the car full of dummies. It hadn't happened already. Oh, no. Surely. Where is she?
Keystone.
Is something the matter?
Last one here gets the most dangerous
Where
stuff.
Is she?
Keystone, get off!
Amber was in the car that went over the cliff. You killed her, you bastard. You killed her.
What car?
While I went for his throat, Murray pounded at my ribs. That didn't loosen my grip. It just caused me to lose my balance. Our balance. We fell to the ground. We rolled towards the edge.
We haven't done the stunt yet! We haven't done it!
You haven't?
Hey, come on, you missed the fun. They've launched the car.
I only just gave the signal.
What does that mean?
The car rolls down from the top of a hill. That way it's going really fast when it goes over the cliff.
I looked where he's pointing, and I saw it. A car full of cops, slowly gathering speed as it rolled down the incline. Something like a roller coaster car just beginning its descent.
Amber!
I could see immediately that the only chance was to get my own car in the way, somehow.
Start, damn you, start!
It wasn't far, but the stunt car was gaining speed all the time. I wasn't going to make it. In those final seconds, I strained so hard on the throttle lever that I bent the metal. The brush gave all it could to cut across the path of the oncoming car. But what I was trying to do was impossible. There simply wasn't enough space between the cop's car and the cliff edge. Our front wheels hit. Instead of running the center of my car as we collided, the cops cannoned off to one side and stopped in a hillock. Its speed, its momentum, was transferred to my car, rather like a collision of billiard balls. And it was I, not Amber, who went over the 200-foot cliff at Galehead. Whoa! I had time as I plummeted towards the solid-looking sea to reflect that the saving of Amber had been the purpose of the exercise, and I could be pleased about that.
But it was a poor end to the stunt if the next time she saw me was in a coffin. I was lying in bed, and someone was calling me, but by a name I didn't recognize.
Keystone.
It was a woman's voice. Almost no voice at all. More of a whisper. And then cool fingers touched my forehead and stroked my face.
Amber. Amber, is that you?
Oh, Keystone.
You're all right.
I'm fine.
But Murray, Louise, Amber, call the police.
Well, they've both been arrested, darling.
I couldn't call the police myself. No time.
You are going to be all right, aren't you, Keystone? I just couldn't bear it when I didn't know if you'd ever wake up again.
I'll show you I'm all right.
Oh, don't, darling.
Then you come to me.
I don't ever want to be away from you again.
Oh. You don't?
No.
You mean you and I?
Yes, if you want to.
Oh, nothing would make me happier.
I want to be with you always.
But what kind of a life can I give you?
Well, I know you have to go back to Europe. I want to be there waiting for you in England when the fighting is over.
Oh, darling.
This way he is? In here?
The visiting hours are nearly over.
So, there you are, Keystone.
Hello, Mr. Sennett.
I just dropped in to see the guy who dropped in. It's the best stunt any actor of mine ever pulled. A dive into the sea from a car that really went over a cliff, and we have it all on film? Pity it doesn't fit Kidnap in the Park. But if we can find the right story...
So, I'm still employed by Keystone Pictures?
Of course you are. It's $10 a day. You've got a future in this business.
Well, in that case, I'm going to need a rise.
What?
More money.
Forget it.
I'm going to have additional responsibilities soon.
That's right, he is.
You mean you and her?
Yes.
Well, well, well. You're taking on a handful there, kid. She's a peach of a girl, but a lousy actress. What am I going to do with her?
Well, she wants to come to England with me.
The best thing that could happen.
I need to earn enough to pay for both our passages to England, though.
$25 a day. Take it or leave it.
I'll take it.
Now, about this picture...
I'm sorry, but you have to leave now. I did warn you.
Oh, I got it. There's a handsome young man. He's in the hospital. But the doctor who's treating him falls in love with a beautiful girl visitor. And the doctor decides to knock the young man off by driving him over a cliff. Hey, nursey, does this place close on Sundays or anything? We're going to need someone to play the nurse, you know. When can we get inside the film? You listening, Keystone? Keystone!
Roll credits! And action!
In Keystone, the movie, scripted by Michael Z. Lewin from the novel by Peter Lovesey. Mark Straker played Keystone. Jennifer Ely, Amber. Kerry Shale, Brennan. Lorelei King, Louise and Amber's mother. Roger Gartland, Max Sennett. Anne Windsor, Winnie and the landlady. Don Fellows, Frank. John Church, Slim. And Gordon Reed, Chester. Recorded by Wilfredo Acosta, with assistance from Jane Napier and Hilary Carruthers. Continuity girl, Jocelyn Boxall. The director was Matthew Walters.
And cut! That's a wrap!